get started on our work session. Today is Tuesday, August 6th, 2019, at 6:06 p.m. in the Cedar Hills Community Center. And we are starting off our work session with a discussion on family festival. So Rob and Jerry are here. And I thought we would do this is maybe just give a brief update, anything that you want to report on family festival. I sent you some questions that the council had. But they may have more time that we want to discuss. It's just going to be an informal back and forth conversation.
That's why we're just use that here, or?
Sure, yeah, we should, yeah.
Just if we're both on. All right, you want us to just go for it?
Go for it.
All right, well, I'll start with maybe a quick recap of the family festival this last year. And first of all, speaking for our committee, we want to thank you, Mayor, and the council, and certainly the staff for not just your support this year, but every year. It's truly amazing, and we appreciate it. And we hope you guys have a good time with the festival. Just to recap the events, I'm just going to quickly go through each one so you know how they were attended and how well they were attended and how they turned out financially. Swim night, we decided not to have the teen swim night this year. We did 6:30 to 9:30 with families, and I think they appreciated that. It was well attended. In fact, we ran out a little bit short too because it was so well attended. The golf tournament was completely booked. They did a great job with that. The Amazing Race was Tuesday night. Not great attendance with participation, but better than the year before, so we're hoping to build on that. The car show on Wednesday, we had more cars than we've ever had. We had more people attend than we've ever had. We had a few more food trucks there as well. And we had our first car parade as well. And I think people had a good time with that.
So I missed the car parade. I missed the whole thing. I was out of town. Where was it? I think that's a really cool idea.
Well, we went down Cedar Hills Drive, went over to the church there at the roundabout, and back up Cedar Hills Drive into our neighborhood north of the elementary, and then back down. So this next year we'll figure out a better route. But we were worried about the speed bump, so we're trying to.
Cool. I think that's a great idea.
It was good. The mayor got to.
I got to ride one of the cars. It was
nice.
Fun.
Let's see. Thursday, we had the fun run, which turned out great. We had the fundraiser for Spencer Olson, and they did a great job. The Ninth Ward there in the Cedar Hills West State did a great job with that. Ron Crawford did a great job, and I think they raised, let's see, $4,000. We had our first community blood drive, and it was actually an Eagle Scout project, and we ended up with 110 units of blood, as well as 100. He did a great job with that, and that was in Spencer's honor as well. Then we had the YCC Park in the Dark, and we ended up having to move that here to the rec center because of weather. And I must say, we had some challenges with weather this year, from temperatures to wind. But even with that, we had good attendance, and I think it turned out we had to do the movie on Monday night. That worked out just fine. Friday, I'll mention this, and I wasn't able to attend. I don't think Jerry Ann was either, but the pickleball tournament was phenomenal. From what I hear, it was, I don't know how many different teams they had.
I think she said she had 106.
106.
I got the report from Laurie, and she was full.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, yeah, she would like more pickleball courts.
She did a great job with that. In fact, I talked to her, and we're going to try to add somebody on our committee that would help her with that specifically. So we had the pickleball tournament Friday and Saturday, and then obviously Friday and Saturday we had all the events in the park. With the vendors, we had a night out against crime, and we appreciate all that American Fork City and the police department did to help us. The dinner, I think we ordered We ordered 900 dinners. We didn't have quite as many attend that as we normally do, but again, we had a major windstorm come through for that night. Then parade on Saturday, and the other events in the park, and then the fireworks went off without a hitch. I don't think we had any fires, did we?
No.
Certainly not on the golf course. So that was great. Overall, we were very happy with attendance. We were way up in sponsors and subsequently money raised. I bet we were up $5,000 over the year before. And this year, we actually mailed the magazine to Alpine Island and Cedarvilles, which I think helped us. And the other great thing this year, and thanks to the council setting the goal for this, Jerry Ann was able to pay for and design and get the, well, we were able to get enough money to pay for the banners. Jerry Ann and Gretchen made some others design them, and we got those up this year, which I know is a goal of yours, and we were able to do that. Do you have anything else as far as the weekend? Mm-hmm. Any questions on the weekend? Otherwise, just start firing questions. As we've met since the family festival, in fact, we met again today, and we kind of reviewed the questions that you've had, and if you can answer any that you might have for us.
Did we pick the date for next year yet?
June 1st through the 6th.
So the goal is it will always be the first week of June.
Right. Sometimes graduation might be a problem, but
the first week of June after graduation.
Yes.
There you go.
So I just want to ask questions about the parade. I know some of us have mentioned about the parade, about as I was watching the parade, I wish we had enough floats. And I know we don't have a float to reciprocate to other cities, so that's why we bring our float to you if you don't have a float to put in our parade. What's the possibility? I know float costs money. You're not the bottom line right there. But would you be interested in a float? A Cedarville float?
The floats average between $20,000 and $25,000. The biggest issue wouldn't be if we didn't want to budget for a float. It would be that it would have to be housed for the whole year, aside from even just purchasing it. And I do not know if the city has indoor a storage facility for a float, because that would be the biggest issue, aside from the high price tag on the float. We fight against the float reciprocation, but we also fight against the fact that we are always in competition with another city. I even believe that first week in June is Eagle Mountain. And anybody...
We've lost a lot to
Eagle Mountain's just bigger. I mean, if the conversation comes up about the carnival too, and we've talked about that, we're always in competition as a smaller city with the bigger cities. They draw more people. So if a band is going to go perform and they only get one choice, they're going to go with the bigger city. And that's just that's a problem we're going to have. It's not a bad problem to have, because the rest of the year I get to live in a small, cute little city and I don't have to deal with all the other stuff. But yeah, that's some of your big issues there. But we did talk about getting, we are talking about, trying to see if we can get motivated to try and reach out and get bigger people at the parade. It really does come down to scheduling.
I think we're going to try to get a new coordinator for the parade, somebody that right now, Holly Beecher coordinates the Amazing Arts and the parade. We're going to try to just have her concentrate on it and get somebody in there that has a vision in mind. And the other thing we talked about is maybe approaching the two stakes and asking them to each pick a ward. Asking them to maybe put something together. Mm-hmm. Part of me is hesitant because you put more on those leaders.
Yeah.
But they might. I know Mapleton does that. My business partner is in charge of their flow or their entry from the award. So that's a possibility. But I think there are some things we can do, but it is difficult. Mm-hmm. And some of the quotes that might be used in parades, Provo and other cities, they might not be done in the first week in June either. But anyway, we've talked about it. We we see some concerns there.
Yeah.
And we want to increase the military presence too. We have the Freedom Vehicles come every year, which is great. They're a nonprofit organization and they help us out every year. But I think there's some things we can do with improvements there.
Yeah, I noticed too, this is an open conversation. The dance groups. By about roundabout, they're walking. There's no dancing, it's just a group of kids walking up the street. I'm like, well, that's not a parade. You know what I mean? Like, let's be in a parade. Let's dance, you're gonna be a dance group.
Yeah, we have the same problem with the candy. It always runs out about the roundabout.
That's true.
So it's a short parade route, and maybe that just needs to be communicated that, you know, save energy and candy, because it comes all the way up the other side, so.
We have a lot of businesses that want to be part of the parade, and we talked about it. We really can't include anybody that wants to, especially the local people who just want to have a pickup truck in the parade. But yeah, we understand. We've had some of the same thoughts, and I think we can put some energy back in with any coordinator.
I will say one of the positives of our parade is we're one of the few cities that still lets people throw candy. Most people don't do that anymore.
Oh, I love that.
And that part is a concern about safety wise, and we have to make sure that everybody understands to throw it all over the curb. Because you get some kids that race around out, and it's a major safety concern. Anyway, yeah, we're working on that.
What's our feedback from our vendors at the park?
We have one vendor this year who complained. I'm trying to remember what, now that it's passed. She got put with somebody else who was doing essentially the same thing, who came in and dropped her prices to where she couldn't compete, such that there was something that needed to be done to where we said everybody has to report their prices ahead of time, which nobody does. We actually used to have the coordinator of the Pleasant Grove vendor booths used to do our vendor booths. There was nothing in place like that, so I just think maybe that was like hurt feelings, you know, type stuff. The food vendors always struggle on Friday night because of the dinner. But we are very vocal about that in the very beginning. The person who coordinates the vendors tells them there are going to be, there's a dinner that night, you will struggle Friday night, and we've let them know that. We had a problem this year because of the wind. We lost a couple vendors because their tents blew away. One man had come all the way from North Salt Lake with beautiful things, but we had to call him back because his tent was going to go over, and he didn't come back. It took him hours to set it up, and then we took it all down the week. He came back. I didn't hear any more complaints than that. There were just some issues this year, like the wind, that we could not do anything about. And there will always be people that complain about revenue on Friday night, even though they knew. Saturday is generally very good. Wind, I think there were some issues with the wind even on Saturday this year that kind of made it a little more difficult. We just had some weather issues this year that I actually think was handled really well considering all that happened. We almost blew away Friday night, but other than that,
I know we actually like lost one of our huge trees somewhere in the creek bed there. It just snapped in half. The wind was
at
bad.
Heritage Park.
It was bad.
Yeah. Well, someone was there. I hope nobody was there.
It was early in the morning.
No, that was later at night. We had to cancel the movie that night because he can't even put it up. I think it's over 13 miles an hour. He cannot put the screen up.
Do you remember what the speeds were?
30?
The what?
The speed? Speed?
20 all to 30. That night?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was crazy. It was crazy.
But the movie night turned out great on Monday night. I think it was a good night. Yeah, so I think our attendance was probably about the same as it
would. Other questions from the council?
I have any questions? I just want to thank you. I mean, that whole event is always so wonderful and so well organized and coordinated and always so impressive. It's fabulous. And with all the makeup that we have and the weather, and we've never had to come out.
Thank you. We have a great community.
Yeah.
Good enough.
But we are in search of new members, and that we could submit a few names even tonight if you want.
Has to be on our agenda, but do it.
No, 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 we wouldn't have to do it, but we have two people that have been on the committee that want back on it.
Oh, fantastic.
Keith Irwin and Melissa.
Perfect.
It's hard to get one on, everybody always comes back.
And we are in search of a new sponsor coordinator, so we talked a little bit last year about possibility, and then you'll get that to me. Rick has been great, which is Roski's passion for sponsorships, it's more involved.
So some of the other questions that came up via email, one of them was about having more activities just for a variety of ages, possibly having some sort of carnival event for the older kids, and, or just something more for teens.
Okay, so I've been on the committee, well, you have too, long enough, but we've done both. The carnival's a headache, I'm just gonna be completely honest with you. Our city, again, way too small to be worth their time and energy. We talked about tonight possibly even to making a call and seeing if that is even a possibility. I would be willing to bet, number one, that it would be up to them what date we got. Absolutely, it always has been. And the earliest I ever found out a date was February. So you couldn't plan anything until, because everything was based off when that carnival could be there. So you deal with a later date to actually start planning. Brown Amusements was by far the best carnival we had here. They won't even respond to calls. We aren't worth it to them. Now, if there was a way to sweeten the deal slash create some sort of contract where we made it worth their while, paid them more, promised them, I mean, we passed the discount on to the community, but they got 100% of what they pulled in on Friday and Saturday. So financially, that's just it's a hard sell with the carnival. If that is something that the council is interested in looking at, I am happy to reach out and make calls, but it is probably going to cost us more money. We will not be able to pick what part of that carnival comes. And I know the biggest complaint the last year they were here was that they brought nothing but rides that made the kids sick. And because the Ferris wheel didn't come that year, but the Ferris wheel is part of their bigger outfit, so they have a small subset, and then they can bring their bigger carnival. The Ferris wheel is part of the bigger, and in order to get that, you have to take everything that comes with it, and when they brought just half, they brought the rides that we then heard complaints about everybody getting sick on. So, you want my opinion? I've done both. I would prefer inflatables the rest of my life.
And we've had mostly positive feedback since we did that, I guess, starting last year. We had a few issues last year with it, but I think overall people prefer those. What we would like to do is add to them, and obviously we talk money and budget, but they brought some things this year. The virtual reality system didn't quite work out until right at the end. Some of us were able to try it out. But I think that there's some things that we could bring in that would cater more to the older youth.
We also We also discussed, and we have the freedom with the inflatables that we do not have with carnival. Making ticket prices for like 3 and under, they're just free. And that way, when they come in and there's only 3 bounce houses, the little kids can be on, no one can complain because you got in for free anyway. So with the inflatables, there's a freedom there that we don't have with the carnival. We can just say, this age and under, we're not gonna charge you money for it. Addressing the issue of different age groups, that's something we can address with the inflatables, is just a certain age group doesn't have to pay to get in there. We talked even this afternoon about trying to add to the inflatables. We can reach out, there are things that we can do. We know that, I think we talked to Alpine, they do a big ropes course, they bring in a big ropes course and things like that, but everything costs money. So it's all just how much money we want to spend to draw in those age groups and hope that they come. You know, we kind of had a, with the whole teen swim night, it ended up not being worth the money. 20 kids came and we spent an extra $300 for that extra hour, kicked the families out earlier, and that's why we went to what we did this year, is financially it just didn't make sense. So we don't know, we talked about that this afternoon, that older age group, and I don't know what that subset is to you guys, if that's 16 to 18, if that's 15 to 18, I don't know what that subset is. We've struggled to get them to come to anything. That carnival brought them in, but again, what percentage of that carnival was attended by that age group, and is it worth the extra money to address the rest of it?
And I know we had, as far as getting more youth participation, and that would be possibly doing something on Thursday. This was the first year we did the blood drive, but we were talking about maybe doing a service day that day, not just the blood drive. And we've done that in the past, but maybe what we could do is approach the states and the wards well in advance and say, hey, we're going to do something on Thursday. We're going to have some service opportunities followed by a giant party in the park. Because right now the youth have their, the LDS youth have their Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights, generally nothing on Thursday. So if we tell them in advance and they start planning it well in advance, that is their activity that week, maybe we can do something throughout the day, or maybe we, just for the youth, have something early in the evening, service-wise, and then follow up with a huge party in the park. We would probably put somebody on the committee just over that day, and maybe there's opportunities throughout the day. We would do the blood drive again. It's already on the schedule. But I think there's a lot of things we could do throughout the community here at the community center to get people involved in some service activities, and then maybe do something in the evening for the youth. The other thing we talk about doing is maybe teaming up with the beautification committee and having them help us with something that day. I know they try to do something in the spring, which they could still do, but maybe there's some specific things, cleaning up some trails or other things that we could team up with them to, you know, finish up. There's some things that they want to accomplish. So anyway, we were talking about doing a service day that Thursday, but again, maybe getting with the eldest wards well in advance and say, hey, could you plan your activity for this Thursday? Because I don't see it happening in the other night here, right? I hope they would have to. It would be better to do a third day because we have the fun run as well. Any thoughts on that?
I'm just going to add to your points two things. I think I've been working on this with you guys for 7 years. It feels like every year we have at least one state where their youth are gone. So we're already losing a bunch of kids anyway, no matter when we scheduled it. There's just church activities that they're usually scheduling in June as well. So we're competing with that. And then the other struggle, and you might talk about this a little bit, is that the teen events that we posted so far have tended to be advertised for 11 and up. And the feedback that I heard from a lot of teens, especially when you get to that 14, 15-year-old age, is they don't want to hang out with the 11 and 12-year-olds. And so when they show up and see it's a lot of 11 and 12-year-olds, they bail and they don't come back next year. So I think it's one thing that I think our community needs to recognize is there's a lot of difference between an 11-year-old and a 16-year-old, and you're not going to be able to come up with an activity that everybody in that age group is going to want to do. The older kids aren't going to want to do something that the younger kids are invited to. That's in my experience, every time we try to do something for teens.
Well, and not this year, but last year, the YCC did do these great events, and I don't think it skewed far down to 11. I think it was 14 to 18 maybe. The turnout was extremely low, and they had great stuff planned. My child went, she loved it, but they had maybe, I don't know, under like 50 maybe kids there. And they spent a lot of money trying to do it. They had all the YCC kids involved. So I think we've tried to hit, like, I don't know what the solution is. We'll talk, but I don't know exactly what that solution would be. And I'm trying to remember what the first part of your question was.
We have a bunch of stakes on, we've had stake on almost every single year.
We talked about that, and I think the whole point of trying to keep this the same week every year is that eventually, as people plan stuff, they'll go, wait a minute, that's Family Festival. And I think the more we keep it at a certain time every year, people won't do that anymore. I think this will be our third year of keeping it the first week in June, and I think we might be getting to that point where it'll start to hit, oh no, that's always Family Festival. So just like Strawberry Days, that's Strawberry Days, that's Steel Days. Like people, and then maybe people will start to plan accordingly than they have done in the past, because we have moved it over 7 years. It's jumped around until the last three.
I really like the element of some kind of service that would bring those, at least the LDS youth, as a regular activity. So you're automatically going to get a group that wouldn't probably come.
I think we could have a huge turnout if we did something like that and had something specific for maybe 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock for an hour with all of these youth and then turn loose in the park or something. And then we could have hundreds of kids there.
Have like a pizza party, dancing at the end or something.
Yeah, we're not about that. You have a lot of food there, you don't look at that.
I still think even then you've got to narrow down the age if you want a little bit of time. If they know that they're going to be 11 and 12 year olds, they're just not as interested.
I think with the 11 and 12 year olds, they're pretty darn satisfied with the inflatables and all the kinds of stuff.
They are.
They, my kids would absolutely love it if they don't play each other with 14 and 15 year olds, so it's not fun. That's what it is.
Until you get to 20 and then all of a sudden, that's why.
Did you have a question, Brian, real quick?
So some of the feedback that I got was some talk about the age, that different activities for different ages, and some of the older youth not wanting to be mixed with some of the younger youth. The only other thing that I heard from a couple of people was concern about moving the primary events and family festivals to the new park. Now, obviously, we got to wait and see how the new park is and what to envision what can occur there. But even though we're going to have this beautiful new park with awesome features and it's going to be large, people said that they associated Heritage Park with the Family Festival, and they love the creek. Obviously, we can't control the water, and we're glad that we've added a lot this summer. And then the shade, there's lots of wonderful shade. At the other park, it's going to take a while for the trees to mature. And so, there's definitely downside to like splitting it up between locations, but we've done it with the pickleball and some other things. The consensus that I heard from a handful of people was that they had hoped that the primary events stayed at Heritage Park.
Do you want our opinion?
I'd love to hear your opinion.
Well, this came up during the festival, and I think at some point, somebody said that it was up to the mayor. We wanted a Heritage Park. It's central, the shade. I know the car show participants, they love it there. And we get people from Salt Lake. So that event for sure would probably stay there, at least until the trees came over. I don't know what the time frame is for something like that down at the other park, but I think there's some things that could be done down there. But I think as long as we have access to the school grounds and property, we would like to keep it there, because it is central to in the city. That's what everybody has said. It's central, you get a lot of traffic going past there. There's shade, there's the creek, there's the amphitheater. It's perfect for moving in the park.
Yeah.
So right now that's our plan.
Okay. But that is important to understand, that it does hinge on us getting that school land.
Sure.
That is not in our control. It will never be in our control. Thankfully to Greg, and we've had very good, and to I think some of you too, very good relationships with the people at Cedar Ridge, and we've tried to do everything we can to make sure that we keep that in a good place. But that ultimately,
that ultimately is a wild card every year.
It's definitely easier to keep them on board with the inflatables than it is with the
carnival. Yeah.
And somebody had suggested maybe having some younger youth activities or kids stuff at one of the park and the older activities at another park. But somebody brought up a good point that the vendors would like to have everything centralized as well. It doesn't want to be, we wouldn't want that spread across the city. We want the vendors going to want foot traffic.
As a parent,
I'd
want
to
develop one spot to you,
yeah.
So I
can
get it.
Cheryl, back and forth. And you know what, maybe next year, assuming we have the inflatables, maybe we work with them and have them set it up in such a way where most of the smaller kids' inflatables are in a certain area, and that can be done easily. And plus, we have the kids' games all happening on Saturday up by the pavilion. So yeah, right now, Heritage Park is a great place for it.
We did have this discussion at Valley Festival and just with the council. In China, when I talked about this, my philosophy is if we ask the volunteer committee to donate their time to do something like this for us, then let's just let them make the shots, unless there's some compelling reason why we need to overrule them. I would prefer that you guys just, you decide, you're doing this, you're living it, we trust you, you got it.
Absolutely, I agree. I agree.
Definitely the feedback from the residents is key to their job.
Any other questions for the committee? Feedback?
Well, I was just going to say, one thing we talked about today, and maybe we can address it here, is, you know, many of them, had to do with budget and increasing the budget in order to get more things and maybe a float and other things. Something that we've had to deal with, and we talked to Greg a little bit about this, is, you know, trying to reinvest in the family festival. And if we have a good year like we did last year and we were able to prepay some things and we were able to buy the banners, something that hurts us is the budget is June to June, right? And so the family festival ends on the 6th, 8th, 9th, whenever it is. And if we wanted to use some money, we have to actually purchase it and have it back to us by the end of June.
Correct.
So that hurts us a little bit as we try to reinvest. So I don't know if there's any thoughts.
We have talked about that with Charlotte in the past, where if we set up family festival like Strawberry does as their own 501c3, yeah, then we could have it where it doesn't have to be spent in fiscal year, it could roll over.
At that point, though, the challenge becomes probably a little more difficult in the initial years, just because the city cannot contribute to a 501c3, is my understanding.
How's Strawberry Days do with them?
They've got a lot of money in the bank.
Okay.
They have two components. They have a rodeo, and then they have just the Strawberry Days. And I think that they get a lot of those vendors and sponsors.
We can look into that.
But also, I mean, if it's simply a matter of budgeting. I know you guys don't really start ramping up your meetings until about January, is that correct? That's really kind of when we start pulling together the preliminary budget. I mean, if there's something that you know you want, not in this year, but in the next year, so as you start to develop that vision of what you want to do going forward, like we've talked about floats, we've talked, like the banners is a great example. We used leftover funds to be able to fund those banners. But as you have that vision and as you get estimates, you're going to have a good idea of what the money is that you need, whether it's a carnival, whether it's inflatables, whether it's, you know, add-ons to inflatables. And so I think the good idea right now is to approach the council about specifically what you want in the budget in addition to what's currently budgeted, and approach it that way initially while we look into if there's a possibility of establishing a different committee, or not a different committee, but a different form of committee that has its own budget.
And that goes true for the council as well. If there's something you want, and that's a good time to say, we want to fund this, so council, if you're recommending we pull from, you know, cut this fund in order to put it down with us. Well, it's always nice when we come up with ideas on how that's going to be funded, and asking staff to figure it out.
Obviously, every year we try to get as many sponsors as we can and try to increase revenue there. But one thing we don't want to do is increase the cost to families. inevitably I get a call from Alpine. And she's the one that runs their Alpine days, and she's always got ideas on how to make them. And a lot of things they do is, a lot of things they bring in are pay to play. You pay extra to do this. And I don't think we're interested in that. We're trying to keep, I mean, we're talking about it today. A family pass or an individual pass is $18, I think, this year. And that, for the whole week, and that included swim night, included dinner and moving in the park, included the carnival for 2 days. I mean, it's very affordable. And we're not interested necessarily. We want to increase attendance so we can increase revenue, but we don't want to increase the price per ticket.
And that's really what I wanted to summarize is, because I've been working on this with you guys for a long time, and I don't know of any other city that does as much as we do for $18 a week. Nobody does. And when we try to increase the price, we see a drop off in attendance and a lot of people who are upset. So we figured out that if this is as high as we can go, and then we're actually losing participation. And so I think you guys do a fabulous job with what you're given. And I think one of the things that maybe we have to do as a council is set expectations to our residents that we're a small town and it's going to be a small town festival because we can't compete with really any other city in Utah County. Alpine and Highland don't do what we do. They do a much smaller scale. All the other cities, we cannot compete with them. There's just no way we're ever going to be able to make it worthwhile to vendors, to parade entries, whatever the case is, to come here over one of the bigger cities. And so part of that bedroom community that we love is that we also have a small bedroom family festival every year. But again, I think you guys do an incredible job with what we give you. Unless the council wants to increase the subsidy, which I think they're never going to complain about. If we want to throw more money at it, they'll take
it. Well, use
it
wisely if you do.
I would love to see some of the options for what would be gotten for a little money. You know, what kind of inflatables could they have if they had the ropes for us? What's the benefit to increasing?
And I think we're happy to look at that too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think either of us will complain about that.
That fits the feedback I got, because everybody just like, I want more. So, but more inflatable, right? It's not like you have a little crazy thing just roll up for another giant slide for another
one. A couple of things we talked about today, in addition to year-to-day of service on Thursday, was adding a 5K to the fun run, which we eliminated several years ago. We'd like to bring that back. I think a lot of people would participate, and I think we could increase. We could either decide if it goes back into our budget or if it goes to the fundraiser that they do. And then we talked about maybe doing some.
I love it. The chalk festival.
So those are some simple things. We're trying every year to add something. The Amazing Race, I think we can build on that. And if anybody has any specific ideas that they've seen at other city events, just let us know.
And I think we always could add something. So the Amazing Race actually costs extra. And so we always had that option too, is adding activities that aren't included in the $18 for those who are willing to pay more. We just haven't seen many people who are willing to pay more. That's the problem. I think everyone says we want more, but we just don't want to pay anymore.
Right.
And that's.
And anytime you increase the price, that's the first people you will hear from.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we're trying to make sure that we don't price it so high that people don't come, but that we also, we have a lot of activities with what we do. I just want to acknowledge, like I said, I cannot tell you guys, except for those who have served on the family festival committee, these guys really do this all year long, and it comes to January, February, and they are getting more hours than I can even explain behind the scenes, getting this all of a sudden. And then from Monday until Saturday, they're at every event, before everybody else, leaving after everyone else, just kind of like everything. And I've always been so impressed with the amount of work that you guys are willing to put into this as a volunteer. And I cannot express gratitude on behalf of the city enough that you're willing to do that. There's just no way we can accomplish all of that week without your team. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And we actually, that's
why.
That's why we're still here.
That's why we're still here.
So. Anything else? staff.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
See, I told you it was. When I said the council wants to meet with you, that sounded scary.
Thank you for all your.
Do we have anything on our agenda that we need to discuss or can we take a 10-minute break?
Take a break.
Okay, council, I will take a motion to adjourn the work session. Motion made by Councilor Ellsworth, is there a second? Second by Councilor Anderson, all those in favor?
Yeah, how many nights is that?
You guys are aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we are adjourned.